The Wesley Richards Company managed to do what very few gun makers outside of London were able to do: catch and keep the eye of the privileged, money-is-no-object shooting elite during the golden age of shotgunning. What is the history of this gun maker, and why were their developments game-changing and still relevant to most, if not all, of the shotguns that you own today? We're discussing the iconic Wesley Richards Company today on A Break in the Action. Throughout the 1800s, London stood as the epicenter of the world's political, economic, and cultural affairs. Its streets bustled with the cosmopolitan energy of a global hub, drawing people from all corners of the earth. Commerce thrived within the heart of London. The bustling streets of the City of London, with their towering banks and trading houses, were a testament to the vast wealth and influence amassed by the capital. The stock exchange buzzed with activity, fueling the global economy. Shops and marketplaces enticed with an array of luxurious goods catering to the discerning tastes of the aristocracy. On the other hand, Birmingham embodied the spirit of industrialization and innovation. Nestled within the Midlands, it surged with the raw energy of a city driven by manufacturing and engineering. Factories marked Birmingham's skyline, their chimneys reaching for the heavens, their plumes of smoke a visual testament to the ceaseless productivity within. It was a city of artisans and entrepreneurs, where the clanging of hammers and the whirring of machinery resonated in harmony. While lacking the regal splendor of London, Birmingham thrived as the workshop of the world. Its jewelry quarter sparkled with craftsmanship. Its skilled artisans fashioned intricate pieces sought after across the globe. In the realm of shotguns and rifles, the name of Birmingham gunmaker Wesley Richards resonates with a melody of the sublime. Today, I'm joined by L.D. McCaw. L.D., would you introduce yourself and your position there with Wesley Richards?
Hey, thanks for having me here, Ryan. My name is L.D. McCaw, and I manage the U.S. agency for Wesley Richards, the English gun maker based in Birmingham, England.
So who would not be envious of what you do? Being surrounded by incredible guns every day has to be amazing.
Yeah, it definitely beats having a real job, and it's probably as cool as you think it is.
Yeah. So it probably makes the most sense to start with the early years of the Wesley Richards Company. Who was Wesley Richards the man, and what launched his company?
William Wesley Richards was the founder, and he started the company in 1812 in Birmingham, England, and was where the company is still located today. And he came from a jewelry making family. The jewelry making trade was adjacent to the gun making quarter in Birmingham. So it's kind of was a natural transition. And shortly thereafter, he established his shop in 1815 on New Bond Street, and opened that up with the Bishop of Bond Street, William Bishop. And they had that address. The guns were made in Birmingham, and the guns were retailed in London.
Okay. So made in Birmingham, sold in London. Did that complicate things at all, or?
Yeah, it did. But London was always the, and it was a very prestigious address. So to be competitive, to have that prestige, and I think in the early days, you got to realize too, I think just the way marketing and stuff was going, London was a well-recognized name worldwide. And so it was important to have a London address, especially with these kinds of guns. That's just where you reach the market as well. So that London address on the barrels over the door, that was important.
Right. Earliest on, what did the company kind of get started with? Was it shotguns? Was it rifles? What did they lead off with?
Yeah, when William Wesley Richards started, he was making pistols and he was making fowling pieces. Flintlocks, eventually, you know, into percussions percussion guns all the way up to when they started making the breech-loading guns. So shotguns were the basis of the company from the start. In the when Wesley Richards the Younger, the son of the founder, took over, he focused a lot on military rifles, and that's really when the company entered the rifle business, making some of the first breech-loading guns for the British government. And then when the the A&D action was introduced. Of course, it was originally for a hammerless shotgun. So I would say that shotguns are kind of what got Wesley Richards here, but they're equally well known for their bolt actions and their double rockets as well.
Okay. So go back and decode what you're referring to when you mentioned A&D.
The A&D is the way we refer to it in the factory, and that's the Anson and Dealey. Those were the William Anson and John Dealey. William Anson was the likely inventor of the action, and John Dealey was the managing director of the company. So he basically funded the project, and Dealey would have perhaps been the brains behind the operation. And they patented what was the first successful hammerless shotgun, which took the hammers from the outside, those proverbial bunny ears that everyone talks about, and put it on the inside of the action body. And that's where the name that we call it today, a box lock, kind of comes from. So, go ahead.
And these guys didn't stop there, did they? What other noteworthy designs and patents and refinements?
William Anson went on to patent also through Wesley Richards, the Anson push rod, which is probably the most common foreign fastener that you see on especially the London trade. And that's the push rod at the top of the foreign tip. They also, the Dealey Edge was a rifle that was patented by John Dealey and another factory worker. And the part of that patent was the Dealey four-in latch. And that today is the four-in latch we most predominantly use in our new guns that we make. We still use it on our shotguns and on our double rifles. And that's one of those two four-in latches is probably the two most common four-in latches used throughout, you know, breech loading guns. John Dealey also was instrumental in his son, John Dealey the Younger, invented our first ejector system called the Dealey Box. And then the dad, John Dealey, sort of refined it a few years later. But all of this was happening in the 1870s is when the A&D, when the Anson and Dealey was first introduced. And really the period of innovation started with Wesley Richards the Younger, the son, and he was responsible for the first top lever. So about 1851, Le Fichot introduces the pinfire breech loading concept in England. I think Lang is the first one to come out with a gun, but it incorporated an underlever. Shortly about 1855 or so, Wesley Richards introduces the first top lever. So that was one of the very first patents that really had an influence on gun making going forward. That's the most common type of fastening system now you see on breech loading guns is a top lever. Wesley Richards and patented one of the very first, if not the first. You know, and then of course you have all the unique Wesley features and stuff that come out of that, but that period of innovation that John Dealey, his name is so recognized for, it started really with the son. And that's when all these influential patents come out that really we still see today in modern sporting guns.
So quite accurately, we could say that most of the mechanical parts and processes that we're familiar with on shotguns even today had roots in the Wesley Richards factory. You mentioned the box lock design. Has Wesley Richards ever produced a side lock?
Yes, Wesley Richards offered a side lock just simply because the market demanded it, and they made one early on, and they've offered hammer guns up into the 20s, and they offered a side lock gun well back before World War I.
Okay,
but Wesley Richards was just most well known for the box lock, and then eventually the drop lock gun, but you do see some pre-war Wesley side locks bounce around, and up until just recently, we've still offered a side lock of some variation, just because, like I said, you have somewhat of a demand in the marketplace for side locks, you know, as opposed to our version.
Let's discuss that drop lock. That's probably one of the most iconic features of a Wesley Richards side-by-side shotgun. It's been explained to me that the Wesley Richards drop lock design is the highest refinement of the box lock action. What led to the introduction of the box lock design?
Well, it probably, that is a good way to put it. You know, we've added the box lock, but the ultimate perfection of the box lock was probably in 1908, 1909, when the drop lock was perfected. The drop lock is what is formerly known as the hand attachable lock. So the Anton and Dealey box lock was in patent in 1875 and went through several different variations with a snap lever and the doll's head, and then eventually incorporated the Purdy underbolt, and those were the bolting systems to keep it closed. By 1897, the story goes that Leslie Taylor, who was the managing director at the time, he didn't like the pins and pegs, a little the work that held the lock work to the action. He didn't like the way that showed on the outside of the action body, and it kind of obstructed the engraving. So he tasked a worker in the factory to come up with something, and they ended up patenting the very first hand attachable lock action. So that meant that you could remove the lock work from the gun by hand without the aid of tools. And that's what's become known as the drop lock. And so, go ahead.
LD, was that first featured in a shotgun or a rifle?
First featured in a shotgun. And that's the beauty of the drop lock, is that it scales up and down in size to the different action sizes that are required for whatever gauge or caliber, and it makes just as good a double rifle as it makes a shotgun. There are a lot of reasons that the Anson and Dealey was so successful. Part of it was its simplicity, and it's with that came a certain amount of robustness, and a worker with a relatively low skill set could still make an A&D version gun that was very serviceable and reliable. You know, and I think that's why box locks over the years have gotten kind of a second tier kind of attitude about them, you know, where London side locks are kind of considered the premier of all the guns. The box lock, not so much, but I think that was more because there were so many inexpensive box locks made, because it lent itself also to mass production. It's not to say that a box lock couldn't be made as a best quality gun, and the drop lock is an example of that, you know, best quality with just as innovative features as any of the London makers made, you know. And I always say that each one of these gun makers had a mousetrap, you know, a way to make a gun go bang. This was Wesley Richards' version.
Right.
You know?
Right. I've owned several side lock shotguns, but I've always considered a Wesley Richards drop lock to be something kind of like a grail gun for me. I never really did think that I'd be able to add one to my collection. Recently, though, I was fortunate to find an example of the type at a price that I could afford. Mine is a 1912 gun with two barrel set. It's got the house engraving pattern. It's got that super unique snap lever style top lever. I can't really speak to the superiority of its design over a regular box lock, but there's just something very special about being able to easily pop out the inner workings of your shotgun to either service them or just to inspect them. Just like on a side lock, being able to see the intricate design and integration of the parts is really special. My new gun is obviously a side-by-side. Did Wesley Richards ever produce an over and under?
Yes, we did. You know, after Boss and Woodward came out with their over and unders in just before World War I, 1909, 1913, around there, Wesley Richards had to kind of answer that call, because over and unders became quite a rage and a big part of the market. So they, Leslie Taylor, again, the managing director, developed the Avundo system and first patented it probably 1913, 1914. And that's when we really see the first ones pop up. And it incorporated, though, the drop lock system, where the Boss and the Woodward system have those bifurcated lumps. And it really gave that over and under, which has an inherent tall design, it gave the Boston Woodward a real sleek design because of moving the lumps to the sides of the barrels. Wesley Richards, though, still wanted to make the drop lock, so they still had traditional lumps on the bottom of the barrels. So it did give the Avundo kind of a tall appearance, but it did incorporate our hand attachable locks, which is what the firm was hanging their hat on at the time. That Avundo got made in lots of different configurations, from just a simple square back, two trigger gun with six locks, all the way up to a gun that incorporated false side plates and hinged inspection ports, single triggers, and fancy engraving. They made them in rifles, they made them in shotguns. And the Wesley over and under is far more rare than the Boss and the Woodwards, which are extremely rare on their own.
Wow.
You know, but And it was just kind of and they were made up till the Second World War.
I didn't know that. So what is current production for Wesley Richards look like? What are you guys working on these days?
So we try to make 25 units a year. That's our goal for production, and that concerns guns and rockets. And we make we still make the drop lock that we perfected in 1897. And the reason I say it was perfected then is that's when the cover plate, the plate on the bottom that opens up to expose locks and allow you to remove them. We made that cover plate hinged, and we put cocking pieces on the lock work so you could cock the locks in the event they become uncocked when they're out of the gun. So we make that little
knurling
wheel on the back.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been making that gun basically since 1908, 1909, and that's the gun we make today. We make it in a shotgun from a 410 to a 4-bore, and we make it in a double rifle from anything from a 243 to a 600. And they're all on scaled frames that are appropriate to that bore size. And then we also, Wesley Richards is very well known for their bolt actions and was one of the leading pioneers of the modern sporting bolt action, and it's still a big part of our business today. And we make it in a solid frame format, and we make it also in a takedown format. And the orders come in about half and half between the double guns and the bolt actions.
LD, you said 25. Is that 25 shotguns and 25 rifles?
25 units total production annually. So, it's a lost art, you could say, and to expand capacities just is not that easy. And that's the number that we think we can produce and maintain the level of quality that the company's so well known for today.
What sort of wait list can a client looking to order a new Wesley Richards gun expect?
On a bolt action right now, we like to think 3 years. And on a double gun, you're probably closer. You're going to be 4 years, maybe even five, depending on what you do. We're Wesley Richards is quite well known today for the engraving on their guns, and an ambitious engraving job can add a year alone, to the gun. So it just depends on what the customer. But we're quoting 4 years right now.
Okay, well, LD. Aside from new orders, you guys offer a pretty nice selection of pre-owned guns too, right?
Yes, the pre-owned gun side is really my specialty, and how I arrived at Wesley Richards to begin with. And our business model is set up around the pre-owned gun sales are very important. Obviously, you're only making 25 units a year. You got to have a supplemental revenue stream. And Wesley Richards has had a strong presence in the secondhand or pre-owned gun business since the 40s, to be honest, and really all the way back to the 1800s. But that we do maintain a select inventory of fine long guns, rifles, bolt actions, double rifles, shotguns from all makes and models, from Purdy's and Hollands, of course, Wesley's, the Parkers and Winchesters. Our specialty lie in obviously English guns, but we everyone in the factory are avid hunters, and we certainly have a niche carved out in safari rifles. And so I deal with lots of double rifles and helping customers get ready for safaris, and whether getting their rifle shooting or optics squared away, that sort of thing. So we have a very big a presence in the secondhand market and in with our new guns. I would say 75% of the new guns we make we hit the ground running, going shooting as soon as we deliver. So we spend a lot of time outfitting customers and getting them ready.
Yeah, I don't know much about big game hunting, and especially dangerous game hunting, but I still am fascinated by kind of that safari lifestyle. I really enjoy just kind of daydreaming on the Wesley Richards website. It's really kind of a destination site that you can kind of jump onto and spend a lot of time and actually learn quite a bit.
Without doubt.
LD, okay, so to start getting wrapped up, I'm going to put you on the spot. Seeing as how you have access to so many amazing shotguns, what are you hunting with most often these days?
The beauty of Wesley Richards is they've made guns for so long, they made a big variety of guns. So where the new guns are quite expensive and a long way out, It doesn't mean that someone like myself can't have access to hunt with one. So I hunt with a gun, what's called a Herrenshaw. Wesley Richards is a very clever marketing company, always was. And a Herrenshaw was a fixed lock, gun available with options. So you could order them with one trigger or two triggers. You could order them with a custom stock dimensions and barrel links and chokes. And that was that wasn't an option that was always available in the box lock. You normally had to jump to a drop lock, more money, more options, and in order to get more options. You know, so the Herrenshaw, the gun I shoot, was made like in 1932. And it they were available with different kinds of engraving. Mine has the traditional engraving on it and has a Wesley single trigger. You know, and it's kind of cool. And I've always been attracted to vintage guns. I think that's, you know, like you're saying, that Wesley does a good job of selling the lifestyle and painting what it was like on safari. And I think a lot of us are attracted to safaris and bird hunting for the nostalgia of it. And, you know, what better way to do it than with a vintage gun?
I agree. I'm going to have to check out that Herrenshaw model. So you're going to be at the Vintage Gunners Cup in early September this year, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. There's Delaney and Sons, Liz, are taking on the promotion of that show this year. So it's in new hands, new location. I think it's a new breath of life for this new, for this, you know, which is a well-established event, but it has certainly dwindled in the last several years. So I'm glad to see that Liz has got the reins, because I think she, no doubt with her energy, she's going to do some really good things with it. And we are a sponsor of it. We're behind those events. We think they're fun. You know, they're my favorite events to do during the year. You're going to learn a lot when you go to them. And between that and the Southern Side-by-Side, there's really no better concentration of fine guns in one location at one time.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd encourage anybody to visit.
I actually have an episode in the works focusing on the Vintagers organization, and Liz is going to be on to tell us about the Vintage Gunners Cup. So make sure everybody stays tuned for that. LD, I want to thank you for spending some time with me today, and hopefully one day you and I can meet up and sort of reunite our Wesley Richards shotguns in the field.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ryan. I look forward to catching up and hunting sometime too.
Absolutely. Thanks again, LD. Well, some of you might have noticed earlier this year that I added a phone number to our listener line at the outro of every episode. I bet that I've had about 30 hangups over the past few months, but I am starting to get actual messages, and here's a recent one.
Yeah, this is Tim from Bowling Green, Kentucky. I don't have any local stores that stock better over and unders or side-by-side, so is buying online a good option?
Great question, Tim. I also live in a part of the country where it's hard to find and actually put your hands on nice doubles. I would tell you that buying online is absolutely not anything to be worried about. Just like anything else, stick with a reputable site and then do your best to vet the seller as well as the shotgun. Most sellers will offer a 2 or 3 day non-firing inspection period. That's always a good thing. I'd suggest Guns International or Gun Broker. I personally prefer Guns International because I think they do a better job of allowing buyers to sort and filter and really dial in on what you're looking for. Great question, Tim, and thanks. I'd love to hear from more of you, so if you have a question or a comment, let me know. Thanks for listening, everyone.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of A Break in the Action. Want to hear your voice on a future episode? Leave a message, ask a question, or suggest a topic on our listener line at 317-662-4520. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and visit us at abreakintheaction.com.